Today's daf is daf Mem Chet, and we're holding at the two dots, which is about one third of the way down. Before we continue, let's review once again the various shitot that we've spoken about until now. We had a machloket in the Mishnah. According to Rebbe, the only time that a balabayit is chayiv on something that somebody comes in is where he was mekabel beferush to take care of that person. But if he says come in, simple stoma meaning is, according to Rebbe, come in at your own risk, which would mean that it wouldn't be chayiv to take care of him. Now, if that's the case, then that would also mean that the person who's coming in should also be able to say, if you say you will not take care of me, and I say I will not take care of you, in which case it would also mean that if the person comes in, he's not mechuyev to take care of his things. And if the behema of the Baal HaBayit himself, it becomes damaged, which is the diyuk from the Mishnah. If the behem itself becomes damaged, we do not say that the owner of the kiderot was mekabel on himself the shmirah of the behema of the Baal HaBayit. Now this is machlokes Rebbe and Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, we're assuming that, again, we'll see that this is a machlokes between Rebbe Zeir and Rava in our review. But until now, we're assuming that the mutuality is complete, both according to Rebbe and according to Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, if you come in with berishas, then the halacha should be that the Baal HaKederot is mekabel on himself, that he will just make as much sure that damage will not accrue to the Baal HaBayit, his behema, as the Baal HaBayit is going to make sure that damage will not accrue to his pots, let's say, or to his perot, or to his short. According to Rebbe, on the other hand, there's a mutual understanding that everybody is at their own risk. You won't take care of me, I won't take care of you. This is the way that Rebbe Zeira understood the Mishnah. Because of that, there was actually a contradiction in the Mishnah, and Rebbe Zeira had to say that, Enochinani, there's a machloket, Tanayim, reflected in the Mishnah as to whether this machloket actually exists. And the Tanakam indeed held that even according to the Rabbanan, we would always say the same thing that we thought that Rebbe was saying. As everybody agrees, the stomach not makabel and the tiruta. Rava, on the other hand, says the machloket is true according to everybody. There's no Tana who says there's no machloket. It's clearly a machloket according to all, according to the Rabbanan, even Bistam, you're makabel achrayut. And according to Rebbe, Bistam, you're not makabel achrayut. And therefore, it is accurate to say that according to Rebbe, the din would be that mutually we're not makabel achrayut. Problem is, if you come in Bereshut, now this is Rava's Chiddush. Rava says that if you come in Bereshut, despite the fact that the mutuality ought to be, where if I'm a Kabbal on myself, that you should not be Nizok, and you who walk in should be Makabal on yourself, that you will not cause Hezek, that's not true. Because actually, says Rava, even according to the Rabbonan, once the Baal HaChotzer is Makabal on himself, that there's a shmira, then in saying that, what he's doing is he's saying, you are coming into my rishus, and I will take care of you, even on things that would hurt you from the outside, even on things that your shor wants to commit suicide for, anything that happens here is on me. So therefore, despite the fact that normally it would be mutual, and the one who is nichnas would be makabel on himself, if the owner was makabel on himself to take care of you, so you should be makabel on yourself, then nothing will happen to the owner's animal. However, in this particular case, knisa into a private reshut has a new din of achlas atorchim, basically, which the guy is saying, nothing's going to happen to you. Once he accepts that, then that means that he's also going to be protected from any kind of lawsuits, and he's taking on himself the shmir of his own things. Now, with that in mind, there's one additional point that we need to remember in order to begin the Gemara today, and that is that Rav said a very interesting halacha, that the din, that if you come in shelo b'reshut, you slip on the perot, is only if he slips on the perot, is the one who brought in the perot chayav for the damages that occurred to the Baal HaChatzer. But if he eats the perot, and through eating the perot, overeats and dies, the shor, then the guy can say to him, okay, I mean, your shor wants to commit suicide, that's not my problem. So Rav understood that the Mishnah, when it says huska, behen, it slips in them. According to Rav, the same thing is true in the case of a woman who brings in chitin. When it says that an animal was huska behen, it means that it slipped on the chitin. All right, so now that we have all of the memory, now we can begin the new case, which seems to contradict everything that we've said until now. In fact, this is the first time that we're going to see the interrelationship of Ravsden with Ravsden, of Ayala Shalotokha. So here there was a woman who comes in to a neighbor's home in order to do her baking. So that used to be that only one person in the neighborhood had an oven, and then you would pay for the use of the oven and so on. So she comes in to bake, Baruch Beita, puts down the dough, and Ata Barka the Mari Beita, she comes along the goat of the owner of the house and eats up the dough. And then, if that's not bad enough, Chavil, he gets sick from eating the dough, and he dies. Then Rava, which this is absolutely shocking, because this is talking about she came in with her shirts. And Rava was mechayev her to pay the goat, the shalumi to make bacha. Now, this is obviously a complete contradiction to Rava, right? Because, I mean, Rava's shita all along has been that you don't need to come onto the issue of whether goats should be eating things that are not good for them or not. That's not the point. Remember that according to Rava, in any event, when somebody comes in Bereshus, the owner has been mekabel all responsibility, certainly inclusive of the fact that he's going to make sure that this person is not going to end up sued by him for something that his animal does. He was mekabel that his animal won't eat that dough either. So the psak on the surface seems to be outrageous no matter how you look at it. From the point of view of Rava, it's outrageous. But even from the point, forget about Rava. Even if it would have been Shalom Bereshut, what was the halach according to Rav? Ayala Shalom Tochal. Rav says, well, why is your goat eating things that are not good for it? That I'm responsible for. I don't care what they want to eat, but if they're intent on committing suicide, it's not my problem, it's their problem. That's what Rav is saying. Okay, you know, it may taste good, but I mean, who asked you to eat it? Then you want to come sue me because you go to McDonald's and you buy the coffee and then you want to sue me because it's too hot. Good, you want to eat, so eat. I mean, you're not paying me for the eating, but don't tie it to me that I poisoned you while you were eating my food. That's outrageous. Only an American could think of such a thing. We spoke about that before in the story of the Chitim, that was the Chiddush, that it doesn't make a difference. Okay. Now, according to Rav, it doesn't make sense, and according to Rav, it doesn't make sense. And according to Rav, it doesn't make sense even worse, because since over here he was Makabar Rishos, he should be Makabar Rishos on everything. Says the Gemara, the most astounding answer to this. So first of all, it appears if Rav, the Gemara doesn't even analyze the problem in Rav, okay, because it wants to construct this thing in a particular way. Obviously, we could have at this point said, this is nuts. I thought he was Makabal everything. Because we didn't deal with the issue of whether there was Rishos or not. So right now, we don't know how exactly she walked in. But the fact is that according to Rav, if the animal ate and even had come in Shalom Rishos, it would be part on damages to the Barcha. So how does this make sense? Shall we say, says the Gemara, Lema, shall we say that indeed Rava disagrees that pligat Rav, the Yomer Rav, Havila Shalot Tochal? Now listen to this amazing solution, which makes things even worse. Amri, Achi Ashta, please. The case of Rav was without Rishos, but in this case it was with Rishos. Huh? So since it was with Rishos, now listen again to what assumptions are being made here. Since it was with Rishos, Rishos always implies mutuality. So if you walk in without permission, so Rav is saying, well, nobody made any commitments to anybody else. Okay, so now we're talking about interactions that are not part of mutuality. I invade your Rishos. So surprisingly, there I can say, who told your goat to eat up my stuff? Oh, why'd you bring the stuff into my yard, you idiot? That has nothing to do with it, and so on. But if you came in with Rishos, then when you tell the guy, who told your goat to eat my stuff? You say to him, you asked me if I could come in? I said to you, yes. Now, if I say to you, yes, it means I'm going to protect you from the things I need to protect you. But that means that you need to protect me from the things that are going to hurt me. So you can't turn around and tell me your goat shouldn't have eaten. You should have made sure my goat doesn't eat. That's what it means when I say come in. It means I do my share, you do your share. Now, of course, this is entirely the opposite of what Rava said, but it's not.
The goat belongs to the guest.
No.
The goat belongs to the host.
Correct.
And it eats the guest's dough.
Okay. So, remember that when we spoke about Rava, we pointed out that Rava is in fact a very strange way to address the issue that needed to be addressed. Because what Rava was coming to address was the question not of why the owner should be taking better care of the guest, but rather why we shouldn't, can we not say a difference in a case where he comes in Shalom Bereshus. Instead, in other words, what we should have done is focused on the guest's responsibility, right? And we should have said, okay, in this case, you're talking about something which the person causes to himself. That's different than something that I cause to him. That's all you need to say. Instead, we start focusing on the responsibilities of the owner to the guest. So we pointed out that what that implies is that the principle of mutuality doesn't change. Rav is simply saying that there is a new acceptance on the part of the host for taking better care, and that's why, despite the fact that there is an assumption of mutuality and the guest should be responsible, but since the owner is being so inviting, that even takes off that need, because he's saying, I'm going to protect you from the lawsuits as well that I would otherwise be able to sue you with, right? It means that the principle of mutuality is still an assumption, and this principle is what Rava is exercising here. Now, why doesn't his idea of hosting overcome the principle of mutuality? That we'll see in a moment. We're going to ask that. But the principle, says Rava, is that the case of Rav was talking about Shalom Rishut. Since it was Shalom Rishut, both parties were not mekabel any kind of commitment to each other. And therefore, the guest, since he didn't commit himself to caring for the animal of the Balabayit, can turn to the Balabayit and say, who told your animal to eat up my things and get sick? But Rishut Kibla Olehonetiruta should say. Over here, because she came in with permission, in the same way that the owner granted permission to enter into the chatzer, it means that he was saying, enter at my risk. So now that implies that she, the owner of the dough, is also saying, and I too shall protect you as part of this mutual consideration. I, says the Gemara, I thought that that's the opposite of Rava's idea, isn't it? I mean, why is this any different? Maishna meha isha, shenichvesa litchon chitin etzel ba'alabai, shalom b'rishut. We had a case earlier. A woman comes in, she brings in a wheat, and the animal, ba'anta, shal ba'alabai, eats them up. So the balabait is brought to for eating the wheat, and im huska, if anything happens to that animal, so the din over there is that it's chayev. Now Rav had a problem with that, of course, and Rav, we ended up saying, well, it means not that he ate it up, but that he slipped. Fine, that's Rav's issue. Let's forget about Rav for a moment. But let's analyze it without the assumption of Rav, okay? So let's just look at the deal. Taiva shalom b'rishut. Everybody would agree in that case, even if we're talking about eating. The only problem occurs because there was no Rishut. But on the contrary, the Rishut, you would be potter. Whereas what he's claiming now, Rava, is that Rishut, you're more chayev. Now that's crazy. Now, of course, we know the answer to this. The answer to this is Rava's principle of hosting. So basically, what the Gemara is asking now is, what happened to Rava's principle? This is the way that we're asking it, by pointing out the contradiction of this braita on the surface to what Rava was saying. And there's a very good reason for us to choose this braita. We could have chosen all of the cases before. The Mishnah, Kideirot, Peirot. We could have shown across the board that our assumption was that with Rishut, there's more responsibility for the Balabai, not less responsibility for the one who comes in. Why did we take this case? That's about to become clear. Says the Gemara, there's a big difference over here. In that case, it's because Amr litchon chitin, going in there to make use of the grinder, Rava's hosting principle is correct. Given the lobait sniuta, midi, since there's nothing at all that is done in private when you're grinding wheat, lobay misalki marvata lechatzer nafshem. The owner of the chatzer does not have to excuse himself from the presence. And therefore, remember my principle, says Rava, Aleidide Raminitirota. He is the one that is accepting all of the responsibility for Shmira. But the case of the baking, Kiven debayi tzniut, baking requires tzniut. Because in order for a woman to bake, she's got to roll up her sleeves and get into it. And that is not the kind of position that the owner of the house wants to be there for. It's impolite. And so he turns away and goes into another room while she's busy. The point is, however, he can't possibly be telling her, I'll take care of everything, if he can't even be standing there, not can he? So in that case, the principle of hosting doesn't go into effect. What goes into effect is the standard principle of mutuality. So I'll give you permission to come in, but you have to make sure that nothing happens to my things, because I can't be standing there. Now that, once that's true, now we understand why we chose, instead of going to the Mishnah, the case of the Isha, says Tosfos. Because initially, all along, the Gemara figured, there's something about this case that's got to excuse Rava. You know what it is? It's probably the fact that if it's a woman, then there's a yichud problem. So maybe the owner isn't going to be there. So therefore, to ask a kasha from a case where a woman came in was the only thing that we could ask. So we asked them. So the Mishnah could have said, what's that have to do with it? There ain't nothing on me except responsibility. So we understood ourselves. Initially, there was a difference. Here, we get down into the crux of the matter, that it's not a question of yichud, it's a question of tzniuta, and that over there, Rava says, indeed, there's a difference between two cases that look precisely the same on the surface. Remarkable. A woman comes in with wheat that requires a grinder, or a woman comes in with a dough that requires an oven. You would sure think on your own that that's exactly the same case. Comes along now our Gemara to clarify that actually they're very different. Then Enochinami would be different. Then he'd be able to say that you told me you were going to take care of things. You can't turn around and sue me if you're going to take care of things. Okay. So, Kima Dabai, it's Yuta, Marvata, the Chatzar, the Salkin of Shaya. The owner of the Chatzar has to go into some other room. Therefore, it's clear that the mutuality of accepting upon herself whatever needs to be done to protect the Balabayat had now takes precedence.
What else is she responsible for in this case? She's responsible for the Rav.
No, before she went to Rav, she wasn't responsible for anything. Because Rav's principle is that a host assumes all responsibility across the board.
Right.
Okay. But even for a suicidal goat.
But she's responsible
for
what happens to his goat on her.
Only because he's not there.
And what about other damage that she could be causing to him? She's also responsible for that.
Only because he's not there.
And if he's there, she's not responsible for
anything. That's right, according to Rav.
Rav
says that this now transcends the machlokas of Rebbe and the Rabbana. This case of hosting is something that's unique. Okay, so now, the question that we've been speaking about so far is only where the damage occurs directly, either to the shor that comes in, from the shor of the balabayit, or the shor of the balabayit causes direct damage to the owner's things. But how about an interesting case, says Rava, where somebody goes into a rishos of a balabayit, shalom rishos, and the shor paws on the ground until he finally actually makes a hole in it. Now, he's an angry shor. So, chafal ba'barot shichinu ma'arot. Now, that boar causes damages. Fascinatingly, the balashor is chayev in the nizken chotzer. I mean, obviously, the ground is going to have to be fixed. You've got to get somebody to bring in some new soil and smooth it out. Fine, okay. That was damage that was caused directly by the shor. But if now the balachotzer goes ahead and he's mafker his rishos, which is one of the ways to create a boar. You have a boar in your rishos, you mafker rishos. So now rishos harabim comes into your rishos and somebody gets damaged. In that case, interestingly enough, the balachotzer is chayev in the nizkei boar. Now, you might think that the very fact that the Torah says that shors don't make bars, ki yichra ish bar velo shor bar, you might take that and be doresh it by saying a weird thing. In other words, that if a person personally takes responsibility to dig a bar, so then on that bar you could be chayev if ultimately you allow people to fall into it. But if a shor digs a bar, I mean, that's not the real meaning of the drush. The simple meaning of ki yichra ish bar velo shor bar is that you are not responsible on the boar directly, which is caused by your shor. Okay, but you might think that that would extend even to a case where, obviously, the owner of the shor is out of the picture at this point. Now it's the balachotzer we're talking about.
But he's no longer the balachotzer. If he's made it, hefker.
That was the issue that we said before, that every boar is hefker, remember?
No, the chatzer is hefker.
But then when he made the chatzer hefker after the shor, but the boar.
Okay.
So every time you dig
he's still
He created the bar by bringing, in other words, the principle there is, what's the difference if you bring the bar to the people, or you bring the people to the bar? So if you take a bar in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, then that's the equivalent of making the middle of Rosh Hashanah in your bar. That was the machlokas that we had earlier. What is the main case of bar in the Torah? So you might think, the Tosafot says this is a rather strange drasha, but you might think that somehow the pasuk is coming to say that a bar that is created by a shor, no one will ever be chayav on. That's what you might think. Even though it says that, that's ridiculous. Over here the point is, the Baal HaShor is out of the equation now. You have a bar in your rishos. You can fill in this bar. You choose not to fill in this bar. You're mafker your rishos. You brought people to a bar. What do I care where the bar came from? Because we're not going to be Machayev the Baal HaShor and to say, well, I mean, you know, it's, you're Chayev because you're Shor. But that's not the point. We understand that he's that involved. We're talking about now somebody who had a chance to fill up a bar before he brings the rabbin into his rishos. For that, Shechayev, came in the Itle Lahech, Limeluya, Voloko Malya. Since the person who owns the chutzah could and should have filled up this bar and he does not, so then it's the equivalent of digging a bar in the middle of rishos rabbin. And it's Kamandakari Adami. So therefore, in this case, has nothing to do with the drasha of Shor bar. But, in a case like this, Yom HaRava, how about now? You bring a shor into chutz balabayit. No permission. You're mazik the balabayit, meaning actively. Or for that matter, the balabayit is huzakbo, passively. He stumbles over the shor, let's say. In either case, of course, you would be chayev. But ravatz, which seems to mean if the shor is lying down, then you're potter. What? What do you mean? What's that supposed to mean? We shouldn't have ravatz, potter. That's crazy. Because he happens to be lying down, now you're potter? No, this potter doesn't mean lying down. Ravatz means sheer bitz glalim. The thing went around defecating all over the place, ruining things in the chutzah. That's what it means. Minitanfu kelav shabal abayit. So in that case, you're potter. Why? Because the dung is a bar. And a bar is potter and kelim. V'lo matzinu bar shechiyim bo'at ha-kelim. That's the point. So if obviously means afterwards in the time for Kalev, not that it defecated directly on something, then that wouldn't be a bar. But by having now lots of cow patties in the middle of this person's yard, and things are getting dirty left and right, the kids are running around, and so on and so forth, that doesn't mean that you'd be chayav on the Kalim, because for Kalim, you're potter in this case. Ah, but the mashmaut is that for Kalim you're potter, but for other damages of bar you're chayav. Wait a second here. What happened to Shor? The Lord Shor bar. What do you mean, you're potter on Kalim? You're potter because this is a bar, and you're Shor dug a bar, and the Torah says, Ki Yichradish bar. The Lord Shor bar. This is why these two Ma'amarim of Rava are back to back here, to clarify this issue. Because it clearly is saying it's only a problem of Kalim and bar. This is not a bar at all, you see. So what does this have to do over here? Why wouldn't we potter the Baal HaShor because of Shor Bar? And the reason is because at the time that the bar was created, we don't care who's the one depositing the dung. We care who the owner of the dung is. Because at that point, he is responsible to clean up after himself. We're talking about Shor Bar, we'd be talking about if the Shor digs a bar. But something that belongs to him at that point, and he, as we had before, his gummo falls and he doesn't pick it up. It's the same case. Since you should have picked it up, I said, well, what do you mean? But the gummo created the bar by falling. So that's a shor bar. And that should be potter. We don't say that. We say after a nefilah that allows you to be able to pick it up. And in this case, says Tosfos, it's even called a nefilat pshia and not a nefilat onus. You remember that that was an issue earlier. But the fact that you brought the shor into somebody else's rishos, and you know perfectly well that shors have a tendency to defecate, then to say that that's an, oh, well, what can I do? What do you mean? You know, it's not my fault my shor decides to go to the bathroom. That is an absurd argument. Your shor had no reason to be here. You brought your shor in here. Then that's exactly the same as depositing the dung on your own. So now you have to, you have an opportunity to pick it up? Pick it up. You don't pick it up, it's your bar, not your shor's bar. Now, somebody gets hurt and slips, you're responsible. Kalim get dirty? Okay, that's a gzeirat ha-katuv. There's not a chiyuv on Kalim. Fine. No, ten tefachim is for death. The next mishnah. Yeah, we're getting there. It doesn't have anything to do with our case here at all. Vyoma Rava. And furthermore, here we got up to Myra Vachir, Biti Gulalin, Vyetanfu Kilav Shabbatabaye, Navi Gulalin Bor, Gulomatsino Bor, Shechiebo Etakilin. Says the Gemara, but wait, it's not necessarily true. Because remember, we had a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. If something that is yours is considered to be a bor or a shor, right? Now, it's very nice going to Shmuel, and even Shmuel never called Takala Boru. Indeed, Shmuel holds that anything that causes damage is a Takala. It doesn't matter. You own it, you don't own it. That's a bor. Because going to Shmuel, the bor that the Torah is talking about is a bor even in your own rishos. When you were mafkir your rishos, but not mafkir the bor, you brought people to a bor that you own. That's also a bor. But according to Rav, who says, no, that's not the bor. The bor is you dig a hole in the middle of Rishus Rabbi. So then if you own the bor, that's a shor. So Adam Mafkele, Maikalamema, answers the Gemara, well, Stam Galim of Kurim Mafkele. In a normal case, unless you're collecting Galim first, the fertilizer and so on, the person is Mafkele. Even according to Rav, since afterwards it becomes a bor, therefore you're put on killing. A third Mamar of Rava, we are my Rava, Nichnas lechatzer, actually, fourth, if we include the opening. Nichnas lechatzer balabayit shalo bereshut. Vizikat abalabayi, or balabayit is uzak bo. Active, passive. You're always going to be chai if it's without reshus. But, viziko balabayit patur. If the balabayit ends up causing damage to the shor, that's saying active. So in other words, the balabayit steps on the shor and breaks his neck. Spatur. On the papa la'am and the la'aviyat, yadabay. That's only if the balabayit did not realize that the shor was there. So now they did it on purpose. If the balabayit was aware that the shor is there, then if he damages actively the shor, he's called balabayit. The balabayit is chayav. Why? My time in Mishum. The owner tells him, look, you do have rishos to kick us out of here. So you can get us out of here. But lazuke, just to damage us, let lecha rishuta. Now this is actually the shitot of Rava and Rav Papa, who were both involved in this mamar, elsewhere. Because the Amar Rava, the Tamer Rav Papa, in a case where you have two people that are somewhere with permission, or two people that are somewhere, both of whom are without permission. Now Rashi learns, when you say two people with permission, it means like Rosh Hasharabi. When you say two people without permission, you mean like two people who are speeding Rosh Hasharabi. Tosis doesn't like that case because basically that's the case of Shneim Ratzim that we had back before Aminiach. And indeed, that causes us problems because the Pashtus there was that they collide with each other and that each one actively damages the other, not that they're damaged by the other. So Tosis learns that the case is actually that it's talking about a Knis and a Chatzar of a Balabayit, two people, both of whom are without Rishos, or both of whom are with Rishos, is what we're referring to over there. Not a Rishos Harabi. So then, he ziku ze etze chayavim, husku ze beze peturim. Since they're both on the same level, by nezikin, we couldn't care less whether, basically, the din over here is mitkaven or not. That's not the point, it's mitkaven. It's the activity that you're chayav on. But if somebody is damaged, meaning he hurts himself on you, since both of you are equal here, neither of you had rights to be here, or both of you had rights to be here, so then you have to protect yourself. Okay. But only because Shneim Brishut, or Shneim Shelo Brishut. But in the case where Echad Brishut veEchad Shelo Brishut, so if they're both the same, you see, we tell the person, look, you walked in here without permission. So the same way you could have figured that you walked in here without permission, you could have figured that somebody else might be here without permission. Because there's lots of other people like you. Or, you could say the same thing, you came here with permission. Same way the Balabayit is a nice guy, gave you permission. He may be giving the other guy permission. But in a case where one of them has Rishos, and one of them doesn't have Rishos, the one who has Rishos, if he knows that no one came in with Rishos, then we can't tell him, well, you should have figured there's people who walk in without Rishos. He says, it never even occurred to me. Why would I think that there's somebody without Rishos? Ah, yes, Rishos. So there, in that case, it would be different if Echad Rishut veEchad Shelo Rishut. So the one who causes damage who had Rishut, he would be Patur. The one who Shelo Rishut, he's the one who's Chayav. And this is reflected in the din over here of Husku versus Hiziku. Now, Nafal Bar V'Dish Meimav Chayav, in the next case we had in the Mishnah, was that if a shor had gone into the chatzar of the Baal HaBayit without b'shus, and falls into a bor and dies there, polluting the water. So then you're chayav. Now, on the surface, that sounds very, very straightforward. But if you think about it, the water isn't polluted, basically, right away. The water is polluted after the animal starts to decay. So, I mean, if that's the case, at that point, it's not direct damage caused by a shor. It's now the shor is turned into a bor. I mean, that would be the only way we could be mechayev. But that gets us into the other question again, of if you own something, is it a bor? So it comes along, Rava, to say, Lo shana l'shivish b'shat nefilah. Let's keep it simple. The Mishnah is talking about that this shor was filthy. So it falls into the water, the guy can't drink the water. At that moment. So there was direct hezek by the shor. But if no damage was caused at the time that he fell in, and then li'achar nefilah, then you got a bor here, you're putter. You know why you're putter? Because in this case, remember, abstractions are lovely. In this case, your shor is really a bor. And your mayim is really kalim, from the abstract point of view. And bor is putter on kalim. So therefore, there'd be no way to be mechayev you for the water, because anything that is not a living organism is equivalent of something that you are using, and that is kalim. According to Rav, Rav says that at this point it's a shor. So ad the mafkirit. So what are you going to say according to Rav? Until you're mafkirit and it's still you want the nevela, so then it's still causing damage. Okay, sorry. Actually, Rav was addressing the issue of the immediacy. Rav was saying is that loshan elashivish bigufo. If the ruination, pollution of the water, comes from the body of the shor directly, then it's damage at shechem. But if it's yivish mirechom, from the pollution comes afterwards from the decay, then it's not considered to be direct damage, it's considered to be a groma. Since I left my shor in your water to decay, that caused ultimately damage in your water. But it wasn't a direct damage that you can all be responsible for, because it's only a groma beyond. So if yivish mirechom patur, my time a groma beyond. The groma b'yama lo mechayim. Haya aviv o b'no l'tocho. Mishalem et hakof. Now the next case we had was the strange case where a shor jumps into a bor, falls into a bor, where the guy's father, he came with Arishos, the guy's father, his son is in the bor. Why it says father and son is very strange. It could be anybody, no? We're going to see. Maybe not. But the father, the son is in the bor, and it says mishalem et hakof. Now, how in the world would he be Mishalem et hakofer if, by definition, this bor has got to be a tam? Because otherwise he'd be dead. No, we'd kill him. And what are you going to say? Oh, well, he ran away. Well, he ran away? How'd he get out of the bor? So once the accident happens, the FAA is there. I mean, what's going on? It's amazing. We're just talking about the Buffalo Airport. And that's when the plane crashes. You know about it. It's a terrible plane crash at Buffalo Airport. Yeah. Yeah. To Israeli.
Okay.
Yeah. We just started talking about Buffalo Airport on the way to Toronto. Well, so the question is, isn't he a tam? Oh, my Rav, no, actually, this shor is sort of a funny shor. So he was our Larson shor, right? He's a mu'at to pop on people. He falls on people when they're in Borot.
And okay.
He gets away. Oh. Yes, the Gemara Iyachi. Barktalahu, you're not helping us. I mean, so then he's a Barktala. How did he manage to get to be a Mu'ad? Omer of Yosef, no, he doesn't do it on purpose. Basically, there's a little bit of vegetation on the edge of the bor, and this is a risk-taking shor. So he always figures, you know, well, there's people in the bor. Can't be that dangerous. I mean, if there's people, there could also be me. Couldn't there? How'd they get down there? Me not get down there. So he goes to eat the irakot and promptly falls on their heads and kills them. So he's a mu'at to do this kind of thing, but he's not chayev to be niskal, because it's not his fault that he just has poor judgment. So there's no kavana, and therefore he is going to be now chayev, because he wasn't. But why is he chayev kofer if there's no kavana? I thought we said before that if the shor is not niskal, then there is no chiyev of kofer either, because it says v'gam ba'alav yumat v'im kofer yushat alav, right? So we interrelated the Hashor Yisakel, the Gabal of Yuman, together with Im Kofi Yishatolam. So how do we come up with a case like this? Says Rashi, you could have asked that question on the case of Kofi that we said before you pay for Shein Varega. We had a case of a Hashor that's walking through somebody's Rishos and tramples on an infant that kills the infant. It's Chayiv Kofi. Is it Chayiv Skila? No. Because it was, by definition, it's Rego. There's no Kavana, correct? Therefore, you see that obviously there's no linkage of Tashlumei Kofi to Skila. What Rav was saying was that in a case where there should be skila, if you can't be seiko, because let's say it was b'chavin to kill something else, to kill this, or whatever. In other words, it's really an act of karen, except that because of the technicalities, there's no skila. There, the Torah linked the din of kofer to the din of skila. But in Shein Varega, the Torah never linked the din of kofer to skila. And there, we're left with the standard muad. Not a muad of kavana, but a muad in the sense of regel. This is the hergel of this shor to do. And therefore, it would be chayev kofer, even though you say, but it's a rather strange behavior. No. For this shor, it's not strange. The mele, it's not tam to be potter, and it's a simple case of muad, but not a muad that's chayev skila. Brilliant. Okay, you'll remember. And we used this sfora earlier also, and of the Chazi Yeruk of the Nofal, for the solution to the case of the shah that's rubbing up against the wall, and he always rubs against wall when there are people on the other side of the wall. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the same as this case, and Tosis is very unhappy with the way that Rashi learns the similarity between the cases over here. Because what are we going to say over there? He only kills... He only rubs against the wall when there are people there. And in that case, you don't have the problem of how did you manage to survive, you see. So I said we have to wait till we get here to discuss that. In that case, he could have run away. So in that case, when we were asking that it's a time, we weren't asking because how did he get away. We know we have a standard solution. To go into Kotav HaKlaagma, Kotav HaKlaagma. So that could have been the case there too. Our problem over there was a different problem. That was that in this case, he was being mischachech la'anato. So how did he become a muad? Rashi was learning that since he has done this kind of behavior three times, so in this case, despite the fact that the source of the behavior is only back scratching, varaya, he keeps scratching his back, nonetheless, he's a muad for this kind of behavior. Says Tesis, we never find such a thing. A muad for the kind of behavior where it's coming from a completely different source. To make it, to consider it to be a muad, legabi karen, that only this last case, we're over there, it's just very strange. Not to be shy of me, so over here it's being done as shame, but the behavior is the same behavior. It's not exactly the same case. But here is the Gemara that we were referring to over there. Okay, so it's an interesting case. He sees a little bit of vegetation and figures he too can eat. That's one way of learning it. Shmuel says, you know, you've sure made an awfully complicated case. It's very simple. It's a tam. It's a tam. I thought tam is potter from kofer. Ah, but it's going according to Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili says that in general, tam is Mishalim Chatzi Kofer. So what's your problem? Ula says, it's Rabbi Yosef Glili, but he's saying it's a tam that's been Kofer Shalim. We shouldn't say anything about Chatzi Kofer. You know why? Because over here it's the Chatzar Nizek. This is Rabbi Yosef Glili, I'll leave it Rabbi Tarfa. The Omar Karen B'Chatzar Nizek, Nezek Shalim Mishalim. In which case, Rafinami Kofer B'Chatzar Nizek. Kofer Shalim Mishalim and not Chatzi Kofer. Oh, wow. Now we have a pshat at last. Bishleima lo ula hanizekani haya aviv obino lo tocho. This is brilliant. The way that ula is learning, the only reason that you're being mishalim kofer is because it's his father and it's in his own rishos. So the Mishnah wants to stress that this is chatzar nizek. But if this was a bor, which wasn't chatzar nizek, still it's a bor. Other people are in it. So then, Hanachlam, you wouldn't be Mishalim Kofer. It's only because it's Chatzar Nizek. At last, the Mishnah adds up. Because according to Shmuel, learns we're talking about Chatzar Kofer. Okay, every time, it's Mishalim Chatzar Kofer. So who cares whose bor it is? So by Ire, Aviv, Obno, it's irrelevant. Huh? Afilo Achernami. You're right, says the Gemara. It doesn't work out anywhere near as nicely, according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, you'll have to say, Urcha de Milta Katana. Just, you know, we're just saying, and his father happened to be there, but it wasn't a meaningful statement. So we have a machlokas between Rebbe and Tanakama. The Tanakama holds that if you let somebody into your rishus, it means I will take care of you. According to Rebbe, it means enter at your own risk. So Hitma, Rav Amar Hilkataka Tanakama, Shmuel Amar Hilkataka Rebbe. Tan Rabba, Knos Sharcha Vishimro. How about in a case where a guy says, okay, bring in your shar, but you better take care of it. So in that case, if that shark causes damage, it's chayiv. But ihuzak is patur. In that case, we would say, what you're saying is, make sure that you take care of your shark, not to damage.
So if you come to park and you're not in the parking lot, isn't responsible for.
Well, if they're saying that you better take care of your own things, so that's what we're saying. You can say, come in, but make sure that nothing happens, that your shark doesn't do any damage. So then, you're saying specifically, I don't want to accept responsibility. But on the other hand, if you say, you bring in your shor and I will watch it, so then the opposite is true. Then if it's huzak, anything happens to it, then the parking lot is chayim, and if it's izik, then the owner is patur. But wait a minute, says the Gemara. You just contradicted yourself by implication. Agufakasha. You started off by saying, Knon Shachar Vishimro, Izik Hayav Uzak Patur. Why? Only because I specifically put up a sign, entered your own risk, right? So time, Yomle Shimro, Techayav Balashar, Potter Balachatzah. But suppose it would have been Stoma, and I wouldn't have put up a sign. What would have been the din? Chayav Balachatzah, Upotter Balashar. Now who's that going according to? The Rabbana. To be Stoma, Bekabal Alayna Tiruta. That's the sheet of the Rabbana. You say, come in. It means we accept responsibility. But then you turn around, aim a sefer. Then you say, Kenosh Sharcha Va'ani Ashmerenu. So then, Rizak Chayav Izik Patur. Now I'll make the same deal. Only reason that we say this is because you promised. You accepted responsibility. Only therefore, the Mechayev Balachatzeru Patur Balashar. But suppose it would have been Stoma, then we would have said, the Balashar is Chayev, and the Balachatzer is Potter, because Mistama, you do not accept Achrayut. Now make up your mind. That's going to Rabbi. Rabbi says, the Omer Adik Kabil Nitiruta Ale, the Balabayat Tishmor. Reisha Rabbana Visefer Rabbi? And explain this. Obviously, we're only asking this Alibada Rava. Stasis points out, Alibada Rabbi Zera, there's no problem. Stama, it's Potter, because you're not Makabal, the other person, Shmir. Right? According to Rabbanan, Stoma, both are Chayim. So there's a deal to make the Stoma. It's only Rava that you could say it's a contradiction in terms. Okay? But this whole circuit's been going like Rava. So that's fine. Now, Amar Rav Elazar, you're right. This is a disaster. Tavra, Nishi Shanazo, La Shanazo. It can't work out. Rava says, of course it can work out. It's actually Kula Rabbanani, and the only reason that it mentions in the Sefer the requirement for stating specifically, and I will watch it, is because I did an Asiv Reisha, Shimro. Since in the Reisha it says, you better take care of your own animal. Tana Sefer v'aniyash merenu. But that means stam aniyash merenu. Papa Amar, on the contrary, it's all Rebbe. And Rebbe holds like Rebbe Tarfa. Tana Chat Keren b'chotzer anizit. Nezek shalem mishalem. Therefore, the issue of here is not Chayev or Potter, but Chayev Nezek Shalem, or Potter Nezek Shalem. And that's what it's referring to, Yilkach. If he says Shimro, so what's he saying? Look, you can walk in here, but I'm not giving you a place that's your own, that you're going to be protecting it. So then, lo mati le makom b'chatzer. In which case, it becomes keren b'chatzer nizik. And keren b'chatzer nizik is mishalim nezik shalem. That's what it says, Ezek. Oh yeah, you're in big trouble. But, the deep lo amro shimro, so then you would have a place in the chatzer. Then it becomes chatzer ha-shutfim. Keren b'chatzer ha-shutfim, enu mishalim el-chatzim nezik. So this is a variation on the terrors that we have used before, to great effect. Ahu itita, the alta lame fabu beta. Ata barcha de mari de beta, achra la lisha, chavilumit. Chiva rava, lishalumi de me barcha. Lema pliga de rav, de omer rav, havia la shaloto chal. No, achi ashta. Atam shalobra shut. Therefore, there was no mutual kabbalah nitiruta. But acha bereshut, in which case, kibla aleha,
Netirut. Get it? Mashnamei Aisha shenipnasa litchon chitim. That's also a woman. So bala bayit shelo berusha ve'achalatam be'emtor shebala bayit patur v'imuskar ha. It's a schayevet. It's clearly time shelo berushut abrushut patur. Amrei litchon chitim. Given the law by tzniuta, mini law by mesalik marvata dechatsu nafshayu. Vale didei rami netiruta aval ameifa. Given the bay he tzniuta, so what's the guy going to do? Marvata dechatsu is going to be mesalik nafshayu and get out of the way. Hilka kala didei rami netiruta. Hirni sharola chatser ba'al abayit. Omar Rav hirni sharola chatser ba'al abayit shlo b'rishut v'chafar bo borot shichinu ma'arot. Ba'al asher chayev b'nizkei chatzer, ba'al chatzer chayev b'nizkei abor. Af al gav, diyom amak yichra, ish bor v'lo shor bor. Och, hakim and ite lahek lamaluya, v'lo kamaya, kemande kar yadami. V'yom arava, hichnish shor lachatzer ba'al abayit shelo b'rishut v'ziket ba'al abayit, o ba'al abayit huzak bo chayav. But if ravatz patur, oh boy, all of a sudden a special dispensation for people who are taking a rest, huh? So Mishum the Ravatz Patur, I'm Rav Papa. My Ravat Shabitz Glalim, Vinitan for Kelev Shabalabayit, Tavi Glalim Bor, Vlamatino Bor, Shechiebot Akilim. Say, Nech Lishmu, Doma Kol Takala Bor, but according to Rav, Doma Adam Mavkele, Maikilamima, Amrit, Stam Glalim Avkurim Avkalu. Vyoma Rav, Nichnas Tachotzer Balabayit Shalobreshut, Vizikit Balabayit, or if that, for that matter, passively, the balabayit was uzakbo. Chayav, if he's ko balabayit, patur amr papa, but that's only the law of a yodabe. Avalo yodabe, he's ko balabayit, it be chayav. My time, Mishum de Omer, look, you may have reshuta la fuke, but la zuke, let the chareshuta. Vazu the tamayo de Omer, rabbi vitem rav papa, shneyem reshut, or shneyem shelo reshut, iziku ze et ze chayavim, husku ze beze pturim. Time of the shneim bereshut, or shneim shelo bereshut, aval achad bereshut v'achad shelo bereshut, the bereshut patur, shelo bereshut chayav. Nofal lebor vivish meimav chayav, omar rava, lo shono l'shivish b'shat nefila, aval achad nefila patur, my time, havishor bor, umayim kelim, v'lo metzino bor, shechia bo et hakelim. Seinich l'shmur diomar kol takala boru, elo rav diomar adem afkele, ma'ik elamima, alit marach yidmar. Omarav lo shano la shivish begufa, aval yivish mirecho patur. My time a groma biyamo, the groma biyamo lo mechayev. Hayaviv obino letocho mishalem et hakofer. Vamayo tamu, omarav bemuad lipo obne adam beborot haskinan. What? The yochi bar ktolo, how did he ever make it this far? Omarav Yosef, the choz yiruka v'nafa, v'shmu olama, ha money Rabbi Yosef agli lehi, the omartam mishalem chatzi kofer. Ula says not. Does it say chatzi kofer? It says kofer. So how many Rabbi Yosef Glili do you make Rabbi Tarf? Do you make Kerem Bechotzer Nizik? Nizik Shalem Mishalem? In which case, how can you make kofer Shalem Mishalem? So Bishleim Ula Ula, I need to tell you how you Aviv Obno Letocho. El Lishmuel my Ayri Aviv Obno. Afilo Acher Nami. Hey, you're right. Urchid Amil Tiketani. Vim Ichniz Bershut. Balachatzer Chayav. Itmar Rav Amar Yochetak Tanakama, Shmuel Amar Yochetak Rabbi. Tan Rabban, Knor Sharcha Vishimro, Izik Chayav Huzak Patur. Knor Sharcha Vaniash Brenu, Huzak Chayav Izik Patur. Now wait a minute, I'll go for Kasha. Amit Knor Sharcha Vishimro, Izik Chayav Huzak Patur. You're saying that's only because the Amalai Shimro. Therefore Chayav Balashar Patur Balachatzer. But Hastama, if there's no sign, limiting responsibility, then what would we say? Chayav balachatzer upata balashar, which means, like the Rabbanan, the Mistama Mekabel and Intiruta, Ema Seifa, Knor Sharchava Niashmrena, Huzak Chayav Izik Patur, aha, time in the Amaleva Niashmrena, but only there is Bechayav, balachatzer upata balashar, ha, Stama, the balashar would be Chayav, and the balachatzer would be Patur, the Mistama Lo Mekabel and Intiruta, but that's only true a little bit of Rebbe. It's a disaster. I did a nasiv reisha shimro. But the same thing would be true if it was just stam. Rav Papa Amar, Kula Rabbi, Sravalak Rabbi Tarfa, Domer Kerem Bechotzram Nizet, Nezek Shalem Mishalem, Hilkach, Amar Le Shimro, Lomak Dile Makom Bechotzram, Vavale Kerem Bechotzram Nizet, the Kerem Bechotzram Nizet, Shal Nezek Shalem. Whereas, Lo Amar Le Shimro, so then he's saying, okay, so you can be here. Akdi Akdi Le Makom Bechotzram, in which case, Havale Chotzram Shutvim, Kerem Bechotzram Shutvim, Enem Shalem Al Chatzin Nezek, which is why it says Patur, meaning from Nezek Shalem.